animal gods that roamed the planet when humans ran around in animal skins and hid from lightning in caves. It doesn't matter who's in charge of the pack. When he roars, every shapeshifter will follow him, and we won't be doing business with him. This matter is closed. That was just about enough. No, it's not. The pack is one of our biggest clients. They are churning Panacea out, which... I know what the damn Panacea does, he snarled. Significantly reduces occurrences of spontaneous loopism in shapeshifter newborns and teenagers, she kept going. It doesn't stay potent for long, and they need large quantities of herbs, some of which only grow in the woods here. They pay excellent rates. I don't care. You should care, because pack money is feeding and housing your dogs. Do you not understand me? I won't work with Leonard. Ilara, are you stupid or hard of hearing? I must be stupid, because I married an idiot who stomps around and throws tantrums like a spoiled child. What the hell did this Curran do to you? Killed your master, stole your girl, burned down your castle. What? Hugh leaned back, his eyes blazing. Ooh, she touched a nerve. Direct hit. She turned to Stoyan. Let me guess. It was the girl.
And the castle, Felix said quietly.
Is this why you want the moat, Hugh? So Curran won't burn this castle down? She knew the moment she said it that she'd pushed him too far.
Hugh leaned back in the chair, a long-suffering look on his face. You know what your problem is? He asked, his voice bored.
Please tell me.
You should get laid.
Ilara stared at him.
It will keep you docile and reasonable. For the sake of all of us, find someone to fuck you, so you can resolve things like an adult, because I'm sick and tired of your hysterics.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Nobody moved. Nobody even breathed.
Cute. This agreement predates our marriage, Ilara said in a sudden silence, pronouncing each word clearly. According to the contract you signed, it is exempt from your input. I don't need your permission. This exchange will go forward, and you will remember that you are a married adult, responsible for the welfare of 4,000 people. You'll reach deep down, find a pair of big boy pants, and put them on. If I can pretend not to cringe every time you touch me in public, you can pretend to be civil. Bury that hatchet, and if you can't, hide in your room while they're here.
The rage in his eyes was almost too much.
You signed on the dotted line, Ilara told him. Are you a man of your word, or are you not, Preceptor?
Hugh rose from his chair, turned, and left. His people filed out behind him. She slumped against the wall.
Well, that went well. We should poison him, Savannah said. Why do you always want to poison people?
Dugar asked her.
I don't want to poison people. I want to poison Dambray. He'll come around, Ilara said. He's under a lot of pressure because of that palisade. He's trying to figure out how to keep us safe from an enemy he doesn't understand, and it's eating at him.
All three of them looked at her.
It's eating at me, too, she said. Let's reinforce our wards. We already did. Let's do it again.
Savannah nodded, and she and Dugar left. Ilara turned to Joanna.
Any luck? The warrior is human,
the blonde-headed witch signed.
Are you sure? 90%. I've done everything I can, but the imprint was very weak. But human is the only thing that makes sense.
It would be so much easier if the armored man was a creature,
One could key a ward to bar a creature. One could research and exploit its weaknesses. But a human, that was so much worse. The castle and the town were full of magically powerful humans. She couldn't ward everyone in. Ilara sighed. The irony of Hugh's lovely insult was that he was right. She needed to get laid. She could have used the release and the comfort.
"Give me some dirt," she signed.
Joanna put a small test tube into her hand.
"I will go play with it. Maybe I can see something."
When it came to research, Savannah was better educated than her, and Joanna was more talented. But Ilara had to try. Ilara took her test tube and left the room. Hugh was a stubborn asshole. The problem with stubborn assholes is that once they made up their mind, they followed through. Logic and rational thinking be damned. She couldn't leave it as it was. She had to talk to him about it. If she didn't, he could snap and attack the PAC delegation tomorrow and ruin a carefully constructed deal that she'd spent months working on. Ilara conquered the first flight of stairs when she heard light steps running down. A moment later, Stoyan rounded the landing. He saw her and halted.
"Ma'am."
"Is he upstairs?" she asked.
"No."
"Where is he?"
Stoyan opened his mouth.
"Stoyan," she warned, "where is he?"
"He stepped out."
"In which direction?"
"He needs space,"
Stoyan said. What he needed was a solid wallop on his head and a personality transplant. Joanna emerged from the hallway and waved at them.
"Hello."
Stoyan's gaze snagged on her for half a second too long.
"Well, that was interesting." "Stoyan, where is he going? I'm going to find out anyway. Your preceptor won't escape, but you would save me a couple of minutes."
"He's going to Radiant's smithy," Stoyan said.
"Thank you."
She put the tube into the pocket of her dress and ran down the stairs. Ilara strode out of the gates. The town sat behind Balia Castle, hugging the lakeshore in a ragged crescent. Radiant Smithy was on the eastern edge of it. A path stretched before her. Hugh had two choices. He could turn right at the fork of the path, circle the castle, and take Sage Street down and east, which would put his course past the shops and houses. Or he could stay straight and walk through the herbals, a carefully managed stretch of woods hugging the north side of the town and used for the cultivation of herbs. Where would a violent man in a foul mood go? It was a no-brainer. She blurred, stepping fast down the path through the woods. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hugh walked on the cobbled path. He was out of uniform. His jeans were scuffed and worn, just like his black boots. His broad shoulders stretched the fabric of a white t-shirt, which hung loose around his waist. Cedric, the big dog he'd healed, ran along his side, tongue lolling. From this angle, he almost looked like a normal guy out for a stroll with his adoring pooch. It was so strange, Ilara thought. By all rights, Hugh Dambray was a despicable human being, but for some reason dogs instantly liked him. Horses, too. Bucky was practically overcome with joy every morning when Hugh came to brush him and pick his hooves. She supposed some women liked him, too. Cedric looked at her over his shoulder. She hurried to catch up, making no effort to move quietly. Cedric trotted over to her. She petted him.
"You're insane if you think he will make good war dogs. His puppies will be just like him. Goofballs."
Hugh ignored her. Ilara walked next to him. Tall trees spread their canopy above them, just far enough apart to let some isolated rays of sun through. The brush at their roots was gone. Instead, carefully planted patches of herbs colored the ground on both sides of the path. The plants were both native and introduced. Sage, mugwort, plantain, ginseng, golden seal, black cohosh, and more. Being here soothed raw nerves, and she often walked this path. More often since Hugh arrived. She needed a lot of soothing these days.
"How can I get rid of you?" Hugh asked.
"Divorce me."
"As soon as I can," he swore.
Ilara let him have a minute of silence.
Tell me.
He gave her a brooding look.
Tell me about Leonard and why you hate him.
Exasperation stretched his face. He looked up as if searching for the heavens.
Our marriage is a sham. Our alliance isn't, she said. We need each other. When people look at you, they see a murdering butcher who betrayed his allies. When they look at me, they see an abomination who leads a cult and feeds on human sacrifice. But now we're married, and suddenly they see us as newlyweds. They assume that there must be something I see in you, some redeeming quality that made me love you and marry you. When they look at me, they see a wife. Surely I couldn't be that abominable.
Or I wouldn't have married you, he finished.
Yes. Doors that were previously closed are beginning to open. The Red Guard guy is coming after ignoring us for months. The county sheriffs think that we are a lovely couple. Explain the problem with the pack, so I'll understand.
No.
I'm not asking for your thoughts and secrets, just for facts. I'll learn them anyway. Normally, I'd pounce on a chance to explore your weaknesses, but right now I just want the pack thing to go smoothly. I worked too damn hard for it. A 3-month-long bidding war, 4 trips to the pack to woo them, almost 10,000 in extra herbs planted.
Did you go yourself to woo the pack? She laughed.
Because I am so sweet and charming?
He gave her a dark look. Your people are eating out of your hand.
They are my people and I love them. They've proved their loyalty beyond anything I had a right to ask. There is no limit to how low I will sink to keep them safe.
Interesting choice of words. She faced him.
Accurate. I will do anything for them.
Good. His smile was like the flash of a knife. I'll use it against you later. She rolled her eyes.
I'm so scared. I'll have to go and find someone to sex me up right away just to keep my composure. Tell me, how did all this start?
He didn't answer. She strolled next to him. Roland found out he had a daughter, Hugh said.
I know the story, she said. The immortal wizard woke up after hibernating through the centuries of technology, just before the shift. He set about rebuilding his empire from the ruins of our modern world. He gathered necromancers and made them into the people. He hired an army and set a warlord to lead them. And he swore off having children. Not sure why.
They always turn on him, Hugh said.
Just like you.
Maybe he had turned on Roland, maybe not. There was something wistful in the way he said Roland's name.
He fell in love in spite of himself, Ilara continued. And he had a daughter, but his wife ran away.
He tried to kill the child in the womb, Hugh said. She stopped and glanced at him.
What?
It didn't work. Daniels is hard to kill. Ilara recovered.
And then her mother took her and ran away with Roland's warlord.
He raised me, Hugh said.
The warlord?
Yes. His name was Voran. He'd trained me since they found me in France. Then Kalina, Daniel's mother, decided she needed his help, and it was all over. One day he was simply gone. That was her power. If she wanted to, she could make you love her. So his surrogate father had abandoned him to be with his boss's wife and their child. That had to hurt. It didn't last, Hugh said. Roland tracked them down eventually and killed Kalina. Voran escaped with the child. I thought Voran would come back after her magic wore off, but he never did.
After Voran left, what happened to you?
I became the warlord. Later, Roland found out that his daughter survived.
How?
Hugh shrugged. She started using her magic. Daniels isn't a subtle type. I could have brought her to him, but he wanted her to come to him, voluntarily, which was a lot more complicated. By that point, she had decided that Curran Leonard was her one and only. As long as they were together, inside the pack's keep, I wouldn't have made any progress. I had to get them to turn on each other. He was describing it matter-of-fact, in a detached voice.
You lured them out of the keep, she guessed.
Yes.
How?
Panacea. I wanted a lot of distance, so I went to Europe, to the Black Sea. I had a castle there. A quiet base for Middle Eastern operations. There are a lot of potent old powers in Arabia. Best to stay out of their way, on the outskirts.
Did Leonard and Daniels come?
Hugh nodded.
What was it like meeting her?
Ilara asked.
What was Daniels like?
You wanted just the facts, remember?
Did she like your proposal?
No. We danced around for a while. Sparred once.
Is she good?
Yes.
Better than you?
Faster. Voren taught us both. It was like fighting myself. She's a killer. If you take away her sword, she'll pick up a rock. If you take away the rock, she'll kill you with her hands. She zeroes in and doesn't let go. Suppressed admiration slipped into his words. Ilara felt an uncomfortable pinch. Aside from fighting Voren, it was probably my best fight, he said.
You fought Voren?
I killed him. She stared at him.
Why?
Roland wanted him dead. So his second surrogate father ordered him to kill his first surrogate father, and he obeyed. Either he was truly a monster, or...
Did it hurt when you killed him?
He wasn't exactly in his prime. Hugh smiled, but his eyes didn't. It hurt, she realized. It hurt, and it haunted him still. Voren was bound to Roland the same way I was bound, he said.
How?
Roland pulled the blood out of my body, mixed it with his, and put it back. She stared at him.
How is that possible?
Roland's magic is ancient. He is capable of wonders. The blood brings with it certain powers. Blood weapons, blood wards, long lifespan. Healing is mine alone. I was born with it. Some things I learned like any other mage can learn. But blood powers come from Roland. When Roland killed his wife, he expected Voren to come back. We all did. When he didn't, Roland purged him the way he purged me.
What does that mean? She asked.
When I found Voren, he was an old man. He had aged. He could no longer make a blood sword. He couldn't use magic. He still had his skills, but his body betrayed him. I had waited a long time to meet him. There was a conversation I wanted to have. But he wouldn't talk to me, and I killed him quickly, because it hurt to look at him.
Is that what would happen to Hugh? You haven't aged.
He grinned at her. Give it time. They walked some more. I knew how that damn trip to the Black Sea would end from the start, Hugh said. Violence, magic, and fire. An old power got involved and broke open the mountain under the castle to release the magic of a dormant volcano. It melted the castle from the inside out. Solid stone ran like a glowing river. Beautiful, in a way.
What happened?
I knew I had to kill Leonard, or Daniels would never leave him. We fought. I broke his legs. He broke my back and threw me into the fire. The whole thing was idiotic. Volcanic fire powered by magic that melted stone. He should have been instantly burned to a crisp.
How did you survive?
I teleported out. Had a water anchor in a vial around my neck. There wasn't much of me left. Roland put me inside a phoenix egg for 3 months. Took me another 2 to get my strength back. He'd spent 3 months in excruciating pain. He'd said it so casually as if it didn't matter. If it wasn't for Leonard, I might have convinced her. She wavered.
I don't think she did.
Hugh turned to her. He didn't want to speak about it in the first place, but somehow Ilara was pulling it out of him, and once he started, he couldn't stop. The void was ripping him apart, and still he talked.
You said she was a killer, Ilara said. An orphan. Her real father was a mystery. Her adoptive father made her hide.
Your point? He asked.
Ilara tilted her head to glance at his face. Roland took care of your needs. He probably taught you, right? Provided you with money? You were his right hand.
Everything I got, I earned, you told her. I worked and bled for it. Everything he asked, I did, no matter what it cost. Daniels was Hugh's only major failure. He never knew he was only allowed one.
But you got whatever you wanted, right?
Your point?
She was an orphan, living on the run, probably hungry, poor, always looking over her shoulder. You were exactly like her, but you had everything and she had nothing. Hugh, you're an astute, experienced man. Put yourself into her shoes. You were both trained by Voran. You both lived your lives in Roland's shadow. You worshipped him, and she feared him. Of all the people on this planet, you are the ones who truly know what it's like to be Roland's child.
Except I wasn't his child. Daniels hated her father. She fought Roland on every turn, while he'd spent decades serving him. But Daniels was blood, and that mattered more to Roland than anything Hugh had done. Like the prodigal child, when Daniels was found, she eclipsed the decades of his service without trying, simply because she was Roland's daughter and he would never be his son.
Try to think like her for a moment, Ilara said. You knew her father in a way she never did. You knew Voran and you likely had him longer than she did. You have so much in common. Then you killed Voran, whom she must have loved, tried to kill Leonard, whom she loves, and then tried to force her to go back to the father she hated, even though you, of all people, knew exactly what waited for her there. The betrayal was catastrophic.
Hugh felt a vague unease. The void spun around him, making it harder to think. He pushed it aside and focused. A memory came to him. He and Daniels fighting in the castle at the Black Sea. She'd won that fight and trapped him with her sword. He'd had to submit. He'd said, uncle, but there was a hint of something there when they fought. Rage poured out of her, powerful and seductive. That red-hot, boiling rage. It turned him on. He wanted to keep fighting her. He wouldn't have stopped until one of them was dead, and she knew it. Her face flashed before him. Daniels had looked horrified, and then she almost fled. The recollection disturbed him. He groped for the connection to Roland, for the clean feeling of surety that clarified all his doubts. But it wasn't there. He was on his own. Hugh locked his teeth, sorting through his memories, going through Daniel's facial expressions. He remembered the last one best, the time he had starved her, trying to force her to submit to her father. She had this look of resignation on her face, as if she had given up on him ever getting it. She never saw him as a man. He was never in the running. He had known that from the start. He was either an extension of Roland, or... It hit him like a ton of bricks. Daniel saw him as a sibling. She probably didn't even realize it. On some level, he had always understood it. It wasn't the woman he had wanted. It was what she represented. He wanted her acceptance. He wanted her to admit how good he was. He would have seduced her to get it, and then rubbed Roland's face in it. One way or the other, the bastard would acknowledge him then. Validation. So simple. At the Black Sea, Leonard had played a ruse, pretending to be interested in another woman. It was a moronic tactic, one that always backfired, and it took a lot of work to cut off all possible escape routes until Hugh forced Leonard into that path. Hugh had quite enjoyed watching it play out at the time. It seemed odd when Hugh thought about it now, as if it had happened to someone else. It had made Daniels desperate. It had made her vulnerable. How the hell did he miscalculate so badly? It was painfully obvious now. I should have played the brother angle. He didn't realize he had spoken out loud until he heard his own voice.
Come back to your true family. Ilara asked.
He nodded. It would have been so easy, too.
Look at everything you sacrificed for Leonard, and here he is, sniffing after the first attractive shapeshifter girl that fluttered her eyelashes at him. You'll never belong with them, but you belong with us. We are your true family. He'll never understand you, but we will. I will. I know exactly what it's like. Come with me and you will have a father and a brother who love you above all others. Damn it! I could have had her. She didn't say anything. Why the hell didn't I see it?
Because you wanted something from her, Hugh, Ilara said, her voice gentle. And it made you blind. What did you want?
Doesn't matter now. He wanted acceptance. If not from Roland, then from her. He would never have it now. And when he thought about it, the ball of conflicting crap those thoughts dragged in their wake was too complicated to deal with.
Should I worry about this Daniels coming here to kill you? Ilara asked. If I were her, I'd hunt you to the ends of the earth.
Hugh struggled for a moment with the paradox of someone worrying about him. No, her hands are tied. She claimed Atlanta as her domain the night Roland exiled me. If she leaves, he will attack.
So she sacrificed revenge for her people.
That's the way she's wired.
Do you still want her?
She'd asked the question so casually, so perfectly flat. Hugh glanced at her. She looked at the road ahead, her face relaxed, but it was too late. He'd caught that one tiny note of female jealousy in her voice. The untouchable goddess of the castle. Would wonders never cease? Ilara turned to him.
Hugh, I need to know if you will take off looking for her if you get a chance.
Sure you do. You shouldn't have shown your hand, love. It doesn't matter now. It's in the past.
Is it? Is Roland in the past?
The void opened its mouth and swallowed him whole. For a moment he couldn't even speak. Then the thing that drove him into battle reared its head and he tore free. She was waiting for an answer. Perceptive and smart, his dangerous harpy. His lovely wife. Ilara had thought about it, about him. There was a spark there. All he had to do was blow on it and feed it, and he would get her. If their fights were anything to go by, he was in for a hell of a time. Roland no longer matters, he lied.
If Roland and Daniels don't matter, neither does the pack.
The woods ended. They turned down the street to the smithy. So much effort to keep me from blowing up your deal. I have to give it to you. You really tried. Good show. She bared her teeth at him.
If you pick a fight with the pack tomorrow, I'll kill you and bury you in those herb beds back there.
That's my sweet harpy. Come on, let me see those claws.
I mean it, Hugh.
Is it Hugh now, not Preceptor? She eyed him.
I'll call you Preceptor when you're done with your immature tantrums.
He laughed. Ilara looked into his eyes, her gaze searching.
What is it you stand for, Hugh Dambray?
She asked. He reached for the answer. It eluded him for the moment. Good times and loose women. Ilara rolled her eyes and peered at the smithy.
What are we doing here anyway?
He reached in his pocket and pulled out the sketch of the warrior. We're going to ask your best smith how hard it is to make this scale mail. He already knew the answer, but he wanted confirmation anyway. She sighed. Come on then, wife. Put on a happy face.
Oh.
She reached over and slid her fingers into the crook of his elbow. Good God, control yourself, woman. We're in public. At least wait until we're in the bedroom.
Your corpse will grow lovely, Golden Seal.
He laughed again and walked her down to the smithy. Hugh stood in front of his bedroom window, leaning on the windowsill. Night breathed in his face, cool and soothing after the day's heat. Early October had been surprisingly hot. He'd left the door to his rooms open, and the night breeze swirled past him, sucked out the door, down the hallway, and into the depths of the castle. Things used to be simple. Too simple. He was a man who killed one father, failed the other, and left a trail of destruction in his wake 4 continents wide. When he looked back now, he saw bodies. It never bothered him before. He'd felt vague pangs of guilt, but never this. It wasn't natural. That was the only explanation. If he felt all this shit now, he would have felt it when he was doing it. He should have been bothered. That part of him had been suppressed, and he wasn't the one doing that suppressing. An absurd urge to find Nez gripped him. Did he feel this? Was his leash longer? Was he allowed guilt?
What is it you stand for, Hugh?
Fuck if I know. He wanted the bottle tonight, more than anything. He wanted to get drunk and forget all of it. He heard footsteps behind him.
You called? Lamar asked.
Come in. The tall, lanky man came over and leaned against the desk. Tell me what happened after my exile.
I thought you didn't want to know.
I do now. Lamar pulled a cloth out of his pocket, took off his glasses, and cleaned the lenses.
The same night Roland exiled you, he went to Atlanta. There was a bargain. Lennart gave up the pack. In return, Roland agreed to a 100-year peace with Daniels.
He separated her from her power base.
Yes. Once I was out of the picture, he began the systematic purge of the Iron Dogs. Anyone loyal to you became a target.
What about Atlanta?
Roland began building on the edge of it.
He was baiting her, Hugh said. He can't help himself.
For a while he played Father of the Year, but Daniels never trusted him. Eventually he kidnapped one of her people, a polymorph named Seman. She came to visit Roland at the fort he was building and demanded Seman back. He refused. They screamed at each other in the language of power. She called him a usurper. Stoyan was there on the cross. He didn't understand most of it, but he said the day was bright and sunny, and by the end of it, the sky turned black and lightning struck the ground. When they were done, she got Stoyan and got the hell out of there.
It sounded like something Daniels would do. Subtle like a runaway bulldozer.
She defended you, Lamar said.
Hugh turned to him.
You said you wanted to know. Stoyan memorized that part. He thought you would want to know one day.
Lamar reached inside his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper.
Read it to me. You were everything to him. He committed all those atrocities for you and you stripped him of your love, the thing he cared about most. Hugh outlived his usefulness. His life had been a series of uncomplicated tasks, and eventually he became his work.
A simpleton. That's how he saw me. And she understood.
He was raised exactly like you wanted him to be. He was like a fallen star. I melted it down and forged it into a sword. It's not truly his fault, but the world is becoming more complicated, not less. Some swords are meant to be forged only once.
The void turned to fire around him. I am a sword, a weapon. Okay. But you've made me into a really sharp sword, and I know how to cut you. Lamar took a step back and swallowed.
Are you all right?
What happened next?
Roland brought an army. Not his main force, the secondary divisions he had spaced out through the region. Daniels turned the Atlanta chapter of the people.
Of course she did. Gastek is her legatus.
Yes, how did you...
Gastek is terrified of death and Daniels can bestow immortality, Hugh said. What happened with the battle?
They fought. Roland assaulted the keep. It was the crudest assault known to mankind.
Don't tell me. He formed up his troops and marched them to their fort.
He did exactly that.
Moron. The word sliced across his nerves like a red-hot blade.
He'd just called Roland a moron in his head. The pain echoed through him, but the world kept spinning.
The combined forces of Atlanta massacred his army, Lamar said. Daniels and Lennart tried to kill him. He fled.
His brain chopped through the words, trying to make sense of them. He fled.
He did.
Lamar smiled.
Teleported out.
A chance. Daniels had a shot at the title. His mind ached, reeling from the red-hot pain.
Daniels is pregnant,
Lamar said quietly. Is it Lennart's? He already knew the answer.
They're married, and she doesn't seem like the cheating type.
Roland's worst fear, Hugh thought out loud.
Why?
Lamar asked. Roland's magic is like a science. It's systematic, it's logical, and it has laws. It supports all of the cornerstones of the scientific method. The observation, measurement, experimentation, and formation and testing of theory. He views it as a civilizing force. Shapeshifter magic is ancient and wild. It relies on instinct. It predates Roland's systematic approach. He derides it as primitive, but he fears it, and he's drawn to it because he doesn't understand it. He's fascinated by witches. His daughter is half a witch, and now she's conceived a shapeshifter child. Understanding shone in Lamar's eyes.
He's afraid his grandchild will surpass him.
Hugh nodded. He'll do anything to get his hands on that kid. Except that he's thinking a generation too late. It's not the baby he needs to worry about. It's the mother.
What does it mean for us?
Lamar frowned. My wife allied us with the pack. The pack is allied with Daniels. That moves us from Nez's personal amusement column to weaken Roland's enemy. We have two choices. We can sever all association with the pack, or we can openly declare ourselves their allies. Lamar rubbed the back of his head.
Pick your enemy time.
Betraying the pack buys us time, and will make Alara nearly unmanageable. Standing against Roland now complicates things. Tomorrow the pack people are arriving. Nez will force the issue. That's the way he thinks.
What do you want me to do?
Lamar asked. Your cohort is standing watch tomorrow.
Yes.
We're going to do a repeat of Fort Smith. Lamar blinked.
Okay. How many do you want at the castle?
Give me 25.
Will do,
Lamar grinned.
Bale's got the graveyard watch. It will kill him.
He'll survive. That's all, Hugh said. Lamar nodded, walked to the door and turned.
Preceptor?
Yes.
If he wants you back, what will you do?
To be back in the light of the magic again, everything forgiven, all the doubts forgotten. To bask in Roland's approval was like walking into sunshine after an endless cold night. He craved it like a drug.
I don't know, he said.
Lamar nodded and walked out. Chapter 8. The morning sun shone through the open arches of the breezeway. The short bridge between two towers had a roof, but no windows. Instead, large arches were cut into its walls, open to the wind and the sunshine. Alara strolled through it. She liked it here, above the castle, away from work and obligations, and looking down through the arches gave her a slight chill of alarm. She did it now, standing still, looking for a few torturous seconds at the land far below. Such a long way down. Slowly, deliberately, Alara took a step back to the safety of the breezeway. Familiar relief came to her. She smiled. She needed that after last night. 6 hours of research and divination, and she had nothing to show for it. She did have plenty of time to stew in her hate of all things Hugh Dambray. Yesterday at the smithy, he was insufferable. They did learn one useful thing. Radian couldn't duplicate the pattern of the scale mail, and he didn't know of anyone who could. Rook emerged from the other tower, moving quickly.
Yes?
He reached into a pocket and rolled a glass marble to her. With the magic up, he had no need for paper. The marble stopped by her feet, and Hugh tore out of it, swinging his sword. She jumped back on pure instinct, but not fast enough. The sword passed through her, harmless, and kept going, because it was only Rook's memory. Hugh twisted like a feral tiger, and struck again and again, fast, sharp, sinking so much strength and speed into his swings, they would have cut anyone standing in his way in half. The raw power, tempered by skill, was mesmerizing. He wasn't wearing his uniform or armor. He wore a t-shirt, dark pants, and boots. He wasn't actually fighting. This was practice, but it definitely wasn't routine. Some inner demon saddled Hugh and drove him into a controlled, devastating frenzy. He was oddly beautiful, the way superior athletes sometimes were, as they pushed their bodies to the limit. Still a touch too lean from starvation, yet a pinnacle of what a human body could do. The way the sun caught the blade of his sword added an almost mystical touch to it, as if it weren't practice, but a sacrifice of sweat and skill to some vicious war god. Sun. Practice. In open air.
You bastard. Where is he?
Rook pointed down. She leaned out of the nearest arch. Hugh whirled below, striking and slicing invisible opponents. Beside him, about 20 of his people were doing the same thing. Some paired off into practice fights, some by themselves, going through the exercises. In the main bailey, right in front of the gates. Rook raised his hand. She looked in the direction of his fingers. Six riders coming up the road. The pack delegation. They would ride right into the middle of Hugh's training spree.
Damn that man!
Ilara turned and ran to the tower. She made it out of the tower onto the landing, just as the pack delegates rode to the gates. Dugar was already there, watching. Hugh showed no signs of slowing down. He had at least 2 dozen soldiers, and he'd ordered the horses out too. They waited on the side, already saddled and tied to the rail at the wall, Bucky with his silver hair standing out like a sore thumb.
What is he doing?
She ground out.
Not staying in his room like you told him to, Dugar said. I suppose he doesn't like being grounded.
The first rider entered through the gates. He was surprisingly young, maybe 18 at most, dark-haired, dark-eyed, and shockingly beautiful. He saw Hugh. A red sheen rolled over his eyes. She sighed. There was no way to stop it. Behind him, the second rider saw Hugh and stopped. The leading rider said something and started toward Hugh, slowly. Dugar turned to her.
If I run down there now and dramatically thrust myself between him and Hugh, it will destroy Hugh's credibility and make me look like an idiot.
Yes, Dugar said.
Ilara plastered a smile on her face.
Then I will slowly walk. Here is hoping they don't kill each other.
She crossed her fingers and walked down the steps. The boy got there first. Hugh finished his swing, wiped the sword with a cloth, thrust it into the weapon rack, and picked up a bucket.
Fancy meeting you here, the boy said. Hello, Ilara said. I take it you're Ascanio Ferrara. I see you know my husband. Yes, I do. The last time we met, he tortured me,
Ascanio said.
He what? Could this get any worse?
You're still alive, Hugh said. Clearly my heart wasn't in it.
He raised the bucket and poured water over his head.
He tortured you? She asked. He was trying to get a friend of mine to come out of a cage, so he could take her to her father,
Ascanio said.
So he would heal me, then break me, then heal me again. I don't remember it, but I heard such wonderful stories about it. Your husband is a man of many accomplishments.
Oh, there was no doubt of that.
Let's see. His people killed the alpha of my clan. He broke the Beast Lord's legs. He kidnapped the Beast Lord's mate, dumped her into a shaft filled with water inside her father's prison, and almost starved her to death. These are just the highlights.
He laughed, an eerie, crazy cackle. A Buddha, Ilara realized. A were-hyena. They were notoriously quick-tempered and crazy. And Hugh didn't mention kidnapping Daniels. He'd kept that to himself. She couldn't believe it actually bothered her. This had gone far enough, Ilara reminded herself. Pulling his feelings out of him was about understanding your enemy, not fueling insecurities. Hugh regarded the shapeshifter, his face slightly bored. Do you want to do something about it?
Let me think.
Ascanio leaned forward, his agile face taking on a pondering expression.
I attack you, you kill me. I start a war, shame the Buddha clan, and my mother will never get to hear the end of it as long as she lives. Not to mention she would be sad. Tempting, but no. I'm here to retrieve the two families, and that's exactly what I will do. The question is, are you going to do something about it?
She caught her breath. No, Hugh said. Are they ready to go, Ilara?
Yes, they are.
Hugh looked back at Ascanio. They were treated well. If more come, they will be treated the same. We'll keep them safe until you pick them up. The Buddha squinted at Hugh.
That's it.
That's it. Hugh turned his back to Ascanio. She felt like sitting down. Instead, she smiled at Ascanio.
Do you need any provisions for the road?
Hugh stretched his shoulders. The small shapeshifter group was about two-thirds of the way to the tree line. They were moving at a crawl. The possessions of the two families loaded into two large carts. They were planning to catch the ley line by Aberdeen. At the ley point, they would transfer the furniture and clothes to the shipping platform, board, and let the magic drag them east. Once they got close enough to Atlanta, they'd likely load the possessions into trucks. But the carts were a prudent move for the road that snaked its way through the forest. Any truck that ran on enchanted water would have made enough noise to wake the dead. And Ferrara clearly wanted to do this quietly. They had barely 12 miles to go, and on this occasion, slow and quiet would win the race. A woman from the town had come to get Ilara 15 minutes ago. Something about a child. His cantankerous wife finally decided that he wasn't going to do anything and left. The wagons crept on, slower than molasses. The shapeshifters were sitting ducks out there. Perfect. Hugh swung into Bucky's saddle and rode up to the gates. The 25 dogs on horseback formed up into a column behind him. Dugar strode up to him.
Interesting kid.
He'll be the next Buddha Alpha. And they would all be worse for it. He remembered the files on Raphael and Andrea Medrano, who ran the clan now. At Ferrara's age and under similar circumstances, Raphael would have charged Hugh the moment he saw him. Buddhas lost a lot of children to lupism, especially males. They spoiled the surviving boys beyond reason. But Ferrara had the presence of mind to set aside pride and personal history to preserve the alliance. It was nothing short of a miracle. Shrewd. It would be prudent to kill him now, before he matured. Dugar stepped closer to him.
What do you think you're doing? Running him down now, after he thinks he's in the clear?
Hugh turned and held the old man's stare. Step back. Dugar blinked and backed away.
They're 50 yards from the trees,
Liz called from the wall. Far enough. He pulled the magic to him and leaned forward in the saddle.
Charge!
Bucky shot through the gates. Behind them, the iron dogs spilled out of Balia, breaking into a canter. A horn bellowed from the castle walls, a harsh declaration of war.
As Canio spun his horse around, Hugh couldn't hear the words from this distance, but it didn't take a genius to read the kid's expression. As Canio shouted, they'd either break for the trees on foot, scattering every shapeshifter for themselves, or they'd make a stand. Either way, Hugh would get what he wanted, but the stand would make them easier to contain. Bucky sped up into a full gallop. Hugh had forgotten this, forgotten the rush of a full charge, but it was coming back. He used to live for this. The shapeshifters threw the kids into the wagons. Lennart's tactics. Stand together and live or die together. Hugh raised his hand. Behind him, the column of riders fanned out into a line. The shapeshifters turned as one, fur and claws and snarling mouths filled with fangs. The horn screamed from the walls. Hugh pulled magic to him. He hadn't tried to do this since he'd been exiled. This wasn't his native magic. He'd learned it as a child from Roland. He had no idea if the power was still there. He began whispering the incantation, paving the way for the release. As Canio raised two curved foot-long knives, his face a meld of hyena and human, eyes blazing. His people crowded around the wagons, shielding the four children inside. 25 yards to the wagons. 20. 15. He angled Bucky. His force split in half, flowing around the wagons like a river. Ferrara's face flashed past him, fanged mouth hanging open in surprise. The trees loomed ahead. Now. He reached for the smudges of foul magic.
Rana Kerr!
Power poured out of Hugh, channeled through words of power so old they shaped the very nature of the magic.
Come before me.
Agony tore through him, so sharp it felt like death, and for a moment Hugh felt a spark of hope that it would kill him. The world wavered and snapped back into focus instead. The aftershock of the power words tore through the trees. The woods quaked and spat 8 undead. Predictableness. So predictable. The vampires spun, turning back to the trees, away from the cavalry charge. 50 iron dogs charged out of the trees, moving in a line, trapping the vampires between the two forces. The first bloodsucker loomed in front of Hugh, still dazed from the impact of the power words. Hugh tore past, swinging his sword. The undead's head rolled off its shoulders. The two forces closed in on the vampires like scissors coming together. An eerie cackle rolled through the battlefield, the shapeshifters joining the fight. Hugh brought Bucky in a wide circle and leapt off his back. Fighting the undead on horseback would only get the stallion killed.
All teams!
A male voice snapped from among the undead line.
Engage the enemy! Pursue at will! I repeat, pursue at will! Alpha 2, Alpha 3, on me! Contain the preceptor!
3 undead broke off and charged him. Hugh let them come, gripping his sword with both hands in front of him, aiming to impale the front bloodsucker. The undead charged at him, eyes burning with red. The real fight wasn't here. It was with the man behind the vampire, and that man had drilled Nez's tactics until they became second nature. So had Hugh. At the last moment, the vamp twisted to the left, relying on its superior speed, counting on him to thrust. Had Hugh lunged, the blade of his sword would have missed the bloodsucker by an inch, leaving his own left flank completely exposed. Instead, he stepped forward with his right foot and turned left, stepping back and driving the blade with all his weight. His sword caught the vamp just above the collarbone, severing the neck. Hugh turned into the spin, raising his blade, and brought his sword straight down, cleaving the second vamp's head like a ripe melon. The third undead spun, twisting away from his sword, bounced off the ground, and leapt at him. Hugh dodged. Claws grazed his shoulder. Hugh took the hit and smashed the back of his sword into the base of the vampire's skull as it tore past him. The undead stumbled forward. Hugh kicked it in the back, stomping hard on the spine. The vamp sprawled on the ground, and Hugh drove his sword straight down, through the back into the heart. Contain this.
The whole thing took less than 2 seconds. His heart beat faster. The world turned crystal clear. This was living. Hugh freed the blade with a sharp tug. All around him, battle boiled. The dog struck at the vampires. Two Buddhas locked on one bloodsucker from opposite sides and tore it apart like a blood-filled ragdoll. He flicked the blood off his blade and dove into the slaughter, looking for something to kill. Hugh surveyed the field. No undead moved. The smears of their magic had faded. 9 serious gashes, 2 broken limbs, no casualties on their side. His people had the element of surprise and magic on their side. Everything except dead could be fixed. A blood-stained Buddha strode toward him, 7 feet tall and corded with muscle under sparse fur. They really did look like shit in warrior form. Part of the reason why Roland detested them, Hugh suspected. The human and animal meld wasn't graceful. This one, at least, was more cohesive than most. The Buddha unhinged his jaws.
Motherfucker!
As Kanyo snarled. Most shapeshifters couldn't speak in warrior form. Their jaws didn't fit together correctly. Hugh was right before. It was better to kill the kid now and avoid complications.
You used us as bait!
Shut up, Hugh told him. You're still breathing.
How did you know?
I knew because I've been a warlord longer than you've been alive. Hugh nodded at a fresh detachment of dogs riding up to them. This is your escort to the ley line.
You could have told us!
You wouldn't have believed me. Tell Shrapshire I have no problem with him when you get home. Ascanio towered over him. Are you going to stand here all day with your dick in your hand? You're losing the light. The kid turned, snarling orders under his breath. He watched the shapeshifter wagons roll past him, the shapeshifters in warrior forms running along the sides, their horses hitched to the back. A little girl, no more than 2 or 3, stared at him from the second wagon, her big dark eyes round and terrified on her brown face. She would get where she needed to go. They did that much. For some odd reason, that thought brought Hugh satisfaction. He puzzled over it. It shouldn't have mattered. She was a random child. She didn't belong to any of his people. They had no connection to each other, and he would never see her again.
Preceptor,
Lamar said next to him. Hugh rested the sword on his shoulder and turned. A figure in a green dress stood on the wall of the castle. He couldn't see her face, but she stood with her feet planted and her arms crossed. He growled low in his throat.
Do you require backup?
Lamar asked quietly. No. Ilara was his wife. He would handle her himself. For now, he'd let her stew. Hugh took his time supervising the loading of the undead bodies on the cart. By that point, a group of Ilara's people had showed up with bags of salt and jugs of water and gasoline, and set about purging the traces of undead blood. When Hugh truly had nothing left to do, he whistled for Bucky and rode him back to the castle, the dogs and the wagon loaded with undead right behind him. He got there just as Bale came running from within the castle, half-dressed, his hair sticking up.
Vampires!
Bale bellowed and pointed behind them.
You fought vampires and I didn't get to go?
The dogs snickered. Hugh cracked a smile.
It was a glorious battle, Lamar said. You slept through it all.
Bale stared at him, incredulous.
You took Lamar? Lamar instead of me?
Don't worry, Lamar said. I'll tell you all about it.
Bale shook his arms and howled at the sky.
There is no justice in the world!
The dogs laughed. Hugh chuckled, dismounted and took Bucky to the stables. This was good. They all needed a victory after getting their asses handed to them for the last 8 months, and this one was theirs alone. The shapeshifters helped, but the victory belonged to the dogs. Hugh was settling Bucky into his stall when he heard light footsteps. She'd chased him down.
A word in private, Preceptor.
Not right now, he told her without bothering to look at her face.
Yes, now. You put children in danger.